Jesus was a prophet. In the purest sense of a biblical definition, Jesus was a prophet and acknowledged as such by many of those who heard his teachings. A prophet is a person who has been given a particular word from God to share with God's people. Sometimes that word from God is a word of comfort, a word of reassurance that despite all that is going on in the world, despite all that might be going on in your life, think of the Jewish people as they were in exile, driven from their country, living apart. God sends Isaiah to give them a prophetic word of comfort and hope in an incredibly bleak time. The other thing a prophet could do is to have a word of challenge or a call to repentance when God's people get a little too complacent, a little too self-satisfied individually and as a society, when they've lost track of love God and love neighbor. The word that comes to God's people is a word of judgment, a call to repentance, a call to change. And in the ministry of Jesus, we see both. We see times when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and follow me, for my yoke and my burden is light." And other times, Jesus speaks a hard word, a word that when we hear it today can make us uncomfortable. When Jesus comes to the temple, he's with his disciples, and they're looking at the majesty, the grandeur of the temple, the place that is most sacred for the Jewish people. And they see this building, and they are literally in awe. Jesus says, "All of this will be torn down." And he says, "Beware, do not be led astray." And he talks about wars and rumors of wars and nation against nations and earthquakes and famines and all of these things, to which the disciples' response is, what are the signs that these things are going to happen? So part of Jesus' role as a prophet is to foretell the things that will come and to speak about the apocalyptic nature of God, which simply says God is breaking into this world. And sometimes when God breaks into this world, things get broken. Temples fall. Institutions fail in order that something new could be ushered in, the birth pangs. In order for something to be born, it often requires pain. Now, when Jesus predicts the fall of the temple, it's considered by some blasphemy. But he'd been to the temple before. If you're a close reader of the Gospel of Mark, this text this morning is chapter 13. In chapter 11, Jesus enters the temple. This is after his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which we call Palm Sunday. But he comes to the temple, and what does he see? He sees the money changers. He sees a marketplace. He flips over the table. He's filled with righteous and prophetic anger. Flips the tables and said, "You've turned a house of prayer into a den of robbers." This is a harsh word, a word of repentance. And what he seems to be saying in chapter 13 when he says, all of this, this thing that you look to, that you think is somehow embodies the very presence of God, it's all going to turn to rubble. He's not saying that God is going to destroy the temple. He's sort of saying, if your whole system that purports to be about following God is filled with corruption and greed, and that's what we heard last week when Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes, for they devour widows' homes." And we had the story of the widow who brought her two coins and put them into the offering at the temple, while those same scribes and priests and Pharisees live a lavish life. They're there to be the very presence of God, to be religious leaders, teaching people to love God and love neighbor, and they've built this edifice, this beautiful temple that's fueled by corruption and greed. And Jesus says, eventually, it's all going to come crashing down. When we don't put God first in our life, and when we don't encourage others, eventually that's going to collapse in on itself. And scholars haven't quite pinned down, but in the year 69 or 70, the Romans actually come to Jerusalem, and the temple is destroyed, some 30-some years after Jesus spoke those words. But from a more theological perspective, this idea that God's presence could be in the temple is one that I think Jesus, in his teaching to the disciples, to us, is what is being challenged and expanded. This idea that God's presence would be in the temple, and that therefore the temple is a place of reverence and prayer, a place where people can experience God. And that can be true in a sanctuary, it can be true in nature, that we can experience God in a particular place. But what Jesus, in his incarnation, demonstrates to us is that God's presence is not tied to a place. God's presence is embodied in Jesus. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we see the full embodiment of God. God is revealed to us in the person of Jesus. And that in the resurrection, and Jesus at the resurrection says to the disciples, "Peace be with you," and he breathes on them the Holy Spirit, which is what Paul means when he says, "You are all members of the body of Christ." That's what Paul, and I think is very helpful, talks about, the language he uses to talk about the church. The church, and as beautiful as Bethel is, the church is not a building. The church is the body of Christ, and that's you. The gathering of God's people is the body of Christ. Post-resurrection, the body of Christ is you. And that's why the encouragement from Paul to the Corinthians is to be mindful that as you take your body to various things in your life, you are taking the body of Christ because that's who you are. Do you not know that you are members of the body of Christ? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, that last phrase, of the Holy Spirit, is really important. Because I've heard people say in life, my body is a temple. And it's usually someone who's very fit, who eats right, and they've done everything in their whole life to be obsessed with their physical body. And while we want to encourage health and healthiness and exercise, what Paul is articulating, and I think is really important, is that each of us, in whatever kind of physical body we have, mind, body, spirit, in every one of us, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit. And so how we think of ourselves, first of all, as temples. We are a physical shrine. That's what a temple is. We, you and I, we are all, individually and collectively, a physical shrine to God's glory. If you haven't thought of yourself that way, I want you to consider it, that you, in your body, whatever state your body is in, you are a physical presence and manifestation of God in this world. That's an invitation for us to think of ourselves and to carry ourselves into the world with that in mind, so that we're bringing the presence of God to the people that we meet with acts of love and mercy and justice and kindness and patience, but also that we see that in each other, that we can see in one another the very presence of God. On the cross, we see the body of Christ fully revealed, the very presence and love of God poured out and shared with you, so that you might know that you are loved, that you are saved, and that you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. That you are a holy child of God and called to do the holy work of God in the world. May we know that to be true, and may we make every place that we take our body holy. Amen.